Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 191 of the Milk Bar, back in the UK this week.
Yes, I think it's the only time we've been in the same room for about a month.
It's this year, quite possibly. Yeah, Saudi the week before, then Kuwait, and now back in sunny Wolverhampton, which is always good. So quite happy to be here. Uh-huh. Right, coming up on the show this week, what have we got, Zoe?
We'll be talking to Nick Slater from Urban Bootcamp All Weather.
And we'll be hearing about what they do to try and get you into shape. We have music from Fight the Dice. Sam, their bassist, joins us on the phone a little bit later on. Also, we're talking to Jen Marston from Compton Hospice about some of their forthcoming events. But first of all, we go to the phones where we find PJ, Paul Rosen. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Now, Zoe, you're intrigued by this one, aren't you? Because it's a bit of a boxing do.
Yes, you see, I always remember watching wrestling and boxing with my nan, and she used to get quite excited over it. And she used to always plump for the underdog, as it were. So that's my Saturday afternoons watching wrestling or boxing with my nan. So I do like a bit of boxing.
And boxing has taken place in Wolverhampton over many, many years. And there's an event on the 9th of March. Paul, tell us more.
Yes, the first paid boxing took place on the 8th of March 1943. And the proceeds from the event went to the Comfort Fund for war victims. So on the 9th of March this year, we're actually celebrating 70 years of boxing, professional boxing, that is, at Wolverhampton Civic.
That's absolutely phenomenal.
Yes, it's quite an achievement for a venue, isn't it?
Yeah, and the Civic's played host to many a sporting event over the years, not just music and arts things. Obviously, the darts being a big one that happens towards the end of each year at the moment. I mean, boxing hasn't always had the best of press, has it?
No. It swings in and out of favour, but it's having a little bit of a revival at the moment.
And done in the right way, it can be a good way of building fitness. Obviously, there's always a negative side to pretty much any sport, because you're actually going out there and doing stuff does tend to injure people a little bit. But you've got some great names coming back down to collect medals who've actually boxed at the venue over the years.
Yes, there's actually 1,170 boxers boxed there over the years. And some fantastic names. I mean, Henry Cooper boxed there twice in the 60s. Both had first round knockouts as well. And a local character, Ron Gray, not only promoted there, but he boxed there. And I think he has the title of the shortest ever knockout at the venue in something like 18 seconds.
Have you got anybody coming who people may remember from a few years ago that's definitely confirmed that they're going to turn up and get the medal?
There's quite a number of people that are doing their best to come along. Our own Richie Woodall, but obviously he works for Channel 5, is it, or 5 Sport or something like that. So he's doing his best to come along. So is Joe Colzacchi, Enzo Macronelli.
Some big names.
Yes, there's a number of them there.
You're not going to let them hit anybody, are you?
The actual event in the day starts at 1 o'clock and it runs through till 5 o'clock. There's memorabilia, there's all the old programmes, all the old posters, and obviously a great number of fighters come along to receive the medals and certificates for all the different things that they've achieved there.
So a chance for people to actually meet sort of heroes from the sport over the years, but I say that link to the city as well, which is really nice, where they've boxed here. And sometimes it's the start of their career, and I suppose sometimes it's been towards the end of the career for many of these people.
Yes, I mean, it varies so much. There's so many different characters. You know, it will take all day just to go through all the ones that and the different achievements there.
So, as I can see as well in the piece that I've read, is that there's going to be lots of different things going on throughout the afternoon. So you've got like memorabilia stalls. I presume people can buy things from them, can they?
Yes, there'll be some memorabilia to be able to be purchased, and there'll be raffles and silent auctions for some of the old programmes and posters and things like that going along. Wolverhampton Amateur Boxing Club are coming along to do some displays of the amateur boxing during the day, and obviously there'll be interviews with the stars that turn up.
On the night time, it's going to all come up to the boxing event?
Yeah, it's a separate event, the fair, and we'll go through the day between, say, 1 and 5 o'clock. And then the doors open in the evening for a professional boxing show. And there's 8 bouts of professional boxing and a English middleweight title fight to top the bill that night.
Very much carrying on the tradition. What's your involvement in all of this? Because you are a bit of a name in boxing yourself, aren't you? Come on, give us the full details.
Well, the event in the day, I'm actually the vice chairman of the Central Xboxers Association, and we basically raise funds for former professional boxers that have fallen hard times. You know, some of these guys don't have the best of things after the careers are over, and we try and raise a few quid to look after people.
If the sport is all that they know, it will get to the point sometimes where they can't look after themselves the way they have been used to over the years.
Yes, so that comes around, and obviously I promote the professional boxing at Wolverhampton Civic now, and have done for a number of years.
Mm. So it's not the first thing that springs to mind when I bet there's some people listening that perhaps didn't even know that it was such a big, you know, event, the boxing in Wolverhampton.
There's four or five, sometimes six shows a year there.
Long may they continue, maybe for another 70 years, as long as you promise to come back and organise the event for the 140th anniversary, okay?
I'll do my best.
Well, good to speak to you. If people do want to come along, do they buy tickets from the box office in the usual way, or is it a turn-up-on-the-door event?
The event in the day, they can turn up on the door. There's only a £5 entrance fee to the fair in the afternoon with the memorabilia and all the stars there. The evening, there are tickets available for the professional show through the Wolverhampton box office.
And is there a website as well for your society that helps funding for these guys?
Yes, there's a Facebook page out there on and it's Central Xboxers. That's basically it. That's the name of the site, Central Xboxers. But if anyone wants any other information, if they go to Wolverhampton Civic, 70 Years of Boxing, there's all the information on there as well.
Google that and you'll get the whole lot, and probably some great photos of all those stars who've I say perform, that's probably the wrong phrase, isn't it? Who've been involved
in
bouts.
Some of them don't perform.
No, that's the way it goes sometimes, isn't it? The sport, but at least 50% of them will have failed.
but
some great names and a great history, and whatever your thoughts on the sport itself, well worth marking those people who've done their bit, and had a good time getting involved in this sort of thing as well. And boxing, as we said, does sometimes get a bad press, but also can turn around a lot of lives, can't it?
It certainly does. Right the way through, it's turn characters around, quite notable ones, and young lads that were heading for who knows where have found the discipline within the sport that they lack in lives otherwise.
And it's a way to take the aggression out in a positive way rather than a negative one.
Well, yes, it's a little bit more to boxing than just aggression. You know, there is a considerable amount of skill there.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't suggesting there wasn't. I wouldn't argue with you. You're bigger than me. But it can be a good focus, and it's through the fact that it's professional bouts taking place, and when you see the guys like the amateurs who will be taking part on the Saturday afternoon, it's good for them to get a bit of a spotlight for this sort of thing.
Yes, we're so highly regulated these days as well. I mean, every professional boxing show, there's a couple of doctors at ringside, there's paramedics, there's an anaesthetist, everything's there to protect the boxers.
And very often these things are decided by points rather than physical knockouts these days.
Yes.
Well, PJ, have a great time at that event on the 9th of March, and so it's going to be probably a fantastic day for you, because you get to meet again many of the people who you enjoy spending time with and reminiscing with.
Yes, it is, and I was actually in London yesterday doing exactly the same with the London Xboxers Association, having their award luncheon, and rubbing shoulders with the John Contes and the Alan Minters and all the people.
You have some life, don't you? Come on, it's all right for some.
It was a very nice day, and they all basically said they're going to come along on the 9th as well. So even the old boxers who haven't boxed there, some of the superstars of the past are coming along.
Brilliant. Sounds absolutely fantastic. PJ, thanks for joining us, and we'll probably send Zoe along, because she does enjoy watching the sport.
Thanks for the call.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Ciao for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's take our first tune from Fight the Dice.
This is LOV. Fight the Dice and LOV, their current single, hearing one of their previous singles in a short while's time. Meanwhile, we're going to hear from one of the band. Sam, hello, sir.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you very much. Yeah. So, the album came out last week.
It did, yes. And Valentine's Day.
Well, was it a special moment of love that you felt was appropriate with your music?
It's kind of ironic, to be honest. Less about love, more sort of a look at love in various aspects. You know, almost cynical, I'd describe it, I think. It was irony to release it on Valentine's Day more than anything else.
But did it shift many units? That's what matters. Did it, were the people out there romantically buying your album for each other?
Oh, I think so.
You like to think so, nothing else.
Some people were buying it to stave off the loneliness. I think some people, I'm single on Valentine's Day, I've got this album to cheer me up. So I think that was quite a pleasant side effect, I think, of releasing it on Valentine's Day, definitely.
So hopefully it's been released on 12-inch vinyl on the grounds that the title of the album is so long, you'll never fit it on a CD. Give us the full name.
It's called Your Wisest Choice and Your Worst One Yet, which is a lyric from the first single, Bad Decisions.
Are you sort of taking a different angle on love in most of your music?
Up to now, yeah. I mean, in our new sort of stuff in the pipeline is a bit of a different direction, but up to now, yeah, it has been. I mean, we look at various, you know, sort of, we've got a few slow songs on there. You know, our original releases were quite reflective, I think. Recently, it's a bit more upbeat, a bit tongue-in-cheek, a bit, you know.
Yeah, a bit more fun with it, as it were.
Exactly, more fun, more energetic. Definitely a bit more aggressive, I think, the album. It's a bit more aggressive than anything we released sort of earlier on from it.
Well, tell us a bit about the band then, because you're bassist.
I am bassist, yes. I'm Sam, bassist. My brother is on vocals, that's Ben. We have Jack and Tom on the guitars and Phil playing the drums. So it's five-piece. It's very energetic, our live show. We have a lot of, I'd like to say charisma, but that sounds quite up yourself. stage presence. Yeah, I mean, we like to enjoy it. I think, you know, we've always had the view that if you're going on stage just for the sake of it, then you're not doing it right. I think you have to really enjoy it and you have to, you know. And so we just go out there and we have fun, really. And I think that comes off quite nicely when we do play live. To be honest, because it spreads, it's infectious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sharing the love.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, sharing the LOV in your case, I suppose.
Yes, we've had a lot of great reviews about the show being, you know, just lively, to be honest, and a bit different, obviously, because, I mean, if you've listened to the album, it's quite sort of differing vibes on each song, and I think we transition from one to the other quite nicely. And they are a great bunch of lads, and, you know, we get on like a house on fire, so...
Well, it helps when one of them's your brother. If you didn't get on with him, there'd be real family problems at Christmas, at least.
Exactly. No, yeah, I do get asked about that quite a lot, you know, how hard or easy it is to get along with your brother in a band. But to be honest, we've always got on really well.
So. And not every band is Oasis, to be fair, are they, so...
Exactly, yes, exactly. It's never bothered us, so we don't really make anything of it in that respect, you know. He's as much my best mate as he is my brother, so it's the same as the others, really.
So who's doing the bulk of the writing, then?
The bulk is Ben. He writes, I mean, most of our songs come through as acoustic from him, because he's an acoustic artist of his own accord as well, or he has been in the past. So the bulk of it is Ben, lyrically definitely is Ben. We all obviously write our own instrumental piece. Obviously, Phil writes the drum scores.
Yeah.
I do the bass line, things like that. And Jack, our lead guitarist, will occasionally pop up and write a song.
He sort of surprises you from nowhere.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we all pitch in with all of our ideas. Generally speaking, it is Ben, particularly lyrically. So, I mean, it works quite nicely, to be honest. I mean, you might be able to tell, to be honest, a lot of the songs on the album have sprung up out of an acoustic, which... then sort of evolved into something a bit, you know.
Sort of orchestrated it a bit for the rest of the guys to join in with.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it works quite nicely with these arcs, but if ever we do have to perform them acoustically, or if Ben is, you know, going off and doing a solo thing, he can just sit down with an acoustic guitar and he's already got the song sort of ready-made kind of thing.
Well, plus when you get asked to do radio interviews and stuff, and, you know, I'm quite happy for you to join us in the studio at some point to play us a few tunes. You know, we can get the rest of the guys in, you all have a chat, poke fun at Ben, and he just has to work and perform and do a bit of singing and play guitar.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the thing, it works quite nicely for the recording, particularly because obviously you already know the timing and you're already quite familiar with the song before you ever have to do anything with it from the rest of our point of view. And they do come out nicely, obviously, after a certain while. I mean, recently we've been writing a bit differently and starting off with quite a bouncy, energetic vibe kind of thing. But no, it's a really good setup. I like it. I think it works really well for us. It always has done. I mean, I don't know if it's the typical way that most bands do it, but...
If it works for you, you don't make a fuss, do you? Get on
exactly.
And do it.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to hear four songs from you in total. We've heard the current single, LOV, which is track 5 on the album. Mm-hmm. Bad Decisions, that's the previous single. We'll hear that next. You've already quoted from it, so we've got a bit of a feel for where that one's going. But we're going to hear Blindfold and This Made Me as well. So give us a bit of a background to those two.
Well, Blindfold is my favourite from the album, to be honest. I love it to bits. I think it's an acoustic kind of thing with a... kind of heart-melting solo from Jack, which is beautiful. It's really nicely written, I think. Again, you know, I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but obviously, you know, I didn't write the song, so I'm allowed to. This Made Me is also up there as well. I mean, it's the reason why we chose the songs for the album, and we do have others in the pipeline, but This Made Me is very, it's again quite bouncy. It's a bit more poppy. And it's quite aggressive, as I say, it's quite energetic, and it sort of takes you by the throat a bit, particularly the drums. So we're very pleased with both of them, and they are. Hopefully, everyone's going to like them as much as I do.
Well, so you're based from around the Midlands, you're in Telford, the rest of the guys are from over Brum, are they over that way, or...?
Well, we consider Birmingham our spiritual home, I suppose. I mean, we're always...
It's where you go drinking, you know, on a Saturday night.
Well, yes and no. You know, we're always up there for one reason or another kind of thing, whether it's playing a show or watching a show or, yeah, as you say, you know, on the town. But it's we usually consider it our sort of city home, because obviously if you say you're from Telford, nobody really knows where that is.
See, well, we do around here, but I mean, it's quite cool.
Well,
Telford,
yes,
Telford
exactly,
is
yeah.
cool. But
locally. No, I mean we're actually Telford sort of Shrewsbury based kind of thing, but we're all over the place. I mean, you know, we come from this Shropshire Staffordshire area. I mean, Phil and Ben are away at uni at the moment, so you could argue they're from Exeter and Sheffield at the moment. You know, we call Birmingham our sort of base because it's where we do the majority of our, you know, our local shows at Birmingham or Hampton. But it's Telford personally, you know.
And what gigs have you got coming up? Much in the area at the moment?
Coming up at the moment, we've just confirmed a slot on a showcase at the O2 Academy in Islington, the main stage. We played the two a few months ago, and that was amazing. We've just confirmed the main stage for that, so that sounds like it's going to be a good one. We are currently sort of working on, or we're in talks with Emma Scott of Emma Scott Presents, so she might be putting us on one in the future. We're also doing one for the Shropshire Star at the Theatre 7 in the summer. I mean, obviously, in term time, we struggle a bit to make the shows because Big Ben and Phil are away. But obviously, that gives us downtime to concentrate on the rest of, you know, all the other aspects of being in a band.
Yeah, well, you've got one album, though, already done, and you're already working on the next one by the sounds of it. So.
Exactly, yeah. We were really excited to get the album out because we wanted people to hear it. But we're also really excited to start on something new recording-wise, you know, now that that one is finally out there and, you know, it's gone kind of thing. So obviously, we have Easter. We're trying to make a lot of plans for Easter and summer at the moment, obviously, because it's a nice long break to get the shows in. We've got a few private shows as well, you know.
I'm not sure what that means, but let's not go there. and have you got a website as well detailing your forthcoming gigs?
Yes, we've got fightthedice.co.uk, nice and simple. Obviously, we have a Facebook, a Twitter, a YouTube channel where you can find our music videos and various assorted acoustic covers that we've done in the past and things like that. So they're all worth a looking. I mean, if you go to fightadice.co.uk, it's all there. You know,
all linked through.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I work quite hard to keep it as up to date as I can. so it is all there. You know, you'll find it all off that website anyway. So.
Well, Sam, thank you for joining us. We're going to take a listen to Bad Decisions next and we'll carry on enjoying the music. It's sounding really good so far.
All right, brilliant. Thank you for having
me. Cheers. Thanks. Drop it out.
Fight the Dice and Bad Decision. Zoe.
Yes.
We often talk about the goings on at Compton Hospice and the fantastic things they organise to raise money for a very worthwhile cause. Jen Marston joins us on the phone now. Let us know a little bit about what's happening. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Struggling along, really. It's always good to talk to you, though, and tell you what's going on with our new event.
It's always good to talk to you, too. So what have you got happening?
Right, we've got planned for May. We've got to settle a date yet. A clairvoyant night with John Starkey.
The one and only, our friend John Starkey.
Yes, we've had him on here, we have.
So I'm looking forward to that, and we've just got to set a day. That'll be at the rugby club in Castlecroft, and that'll be around about £10-15, probably with food as well, something like a hot pot sandwich included in the price, so that'd be quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be one of those where he'll have somebody come through and he'll talk to somebody in the audience?
A demonstration of clairvoyance.
Yes, it's like a proper show.
I've always fancied going to see that.
Yeah, well, I haven't actually seen him. I've sort of met him and heard him on the radio, so I'm looking forward to that.
He's very nice. He's a lovely man.
Let you know the other date when that's confirmed with him, so that's quite an exciting one we're going to do. We've got the big Compton in the Park, which is the 16th of June, the Sunday, and so it'll be the usual, and it's a knockout competition, the dog show, which was very, very popular last year. It was amazing. And I think Sally Woods is going to be in contact with you soon, Jason.
I'm booked, am I? Am I working it?
Yes, you are.
You normally do that one, don't you?
Jenny and I were talking last week when I was in... Where was I? I was at Kuwait or somewhere obscure last week.
That's
when we were talking.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
And we were saying, well, I'm not sure whether I'm doing it yet, but that's not in my diary. It's because everyone's been so busy organising it down there, they haven't got us all phoned yet.
Yes, and I said, well, what about Jason? And, can you ask him then, please? So, put that in then.
It's a given, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
So, thank you. I mean, do a great job there, and it's a good day, isn't it?
I really, really love it, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. Even if you weren't, hadn't invited me, I'd still come along to see what was going on.
She's well, there's always room.
Mm-hmm. What's the it's a knockout? Is that like as it is on telly?
Absolutely, yeah. They hire all the equipment, and they do all the games. We have about 10 teams competing, and like the local banks and local companies getting involved. Mm. I think it's a team of six, and they have to raise about £100 each in the team, and all that goes to the Compton Hospice Fund, so, it's good.
I've always loved watching that on telly, and I've always fancied having a go on that. That looks really good.
Maybe you can get a team from your day job.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah, the Birmingham Midshires Gang, or whatever. Mm. Are you still called Birmingham Midshires?
No, we're Lloyd's Banking Group now.
Okay, I'll get confused. Yes. So
I'll get Sally to send you the pack then, so
there
you can have a look at it.
Yeah, we're going to get you lined up.
Yes, I shall see who my department wants to do it. Yeah. How many people are in each team? Is it 10, did you say?
I'll have to check. It's either 6 or 8.
You can find out online, can't you, at the Compton Hospice website.
Whether it's got that far with it, but I will get Sally to send you a pack there. All right. Yeah, problem at all.
And what have you got going on with the lottery at the moment? Because obviously you had the big draw at the end of last year, which we talked about, but it doesn't just stop there, does it?
No, we have the weekly draw to win the 2,000, which is ongoing. We're just about to design a new ticket, which we'll have from April onwards, so that'll be called Lion's Share at the moment, because it was all the Jubilee and the Olympics last year. It was called Game On, and sort of the Union Jack theme. So
at the start of the new tax year, everything changes.
Oh, absolutely. So all new ideas and new prizes, and we believe it or not, we're planning the Christmas draw now, just talking to my boss about it.
It's crazy what you have to do at this time of year, isn't it?
I know, yeah. So I've got a couple of prizes for that already. One of our winners, who won the 2,000, has kindly donated £500, which will sponsor one of the prizes.
Oh, that's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and she was really happy to do that because it generated last year £47,000.
Wow.
Just on the Christmas draw between August and December.
And how much does it actually cost to run the hospice each year?
It's about £6.2 million.
So it's a lot of work that you guys have to do, and honestly, I'm always happy and proud to be part of what we're doing when we're doing something like the event in West Park. But even that, it's a massive day. A load of money is made, but it's still small compared to the amount of cash that you need to keep the place going.
To keep it going. Mm. So it's just ongoing all the time. You never ever get to a point where I think, oh yes, I can settle back a bit now. It's always like desperate, really, you know, to
but be. Because of the work that you do, everybody wants to keep giving and doing their bit and taking part in all the events.
You know, I get round to go to a lot of venues and we're talking to people, and we've still got a lot of support, which is great, really.
Well, so somebody I know goes to the majority of the events that you do, and she always comments on how nice the food is and what a good evening she has.
Yeah, try and give good value for money as well. We keep the prices low as well. So,
yeah, I mean, she's been to, I've lost count on how many she's been to, but...
send her to more of them. Make sure she's at every one.
Well, as well as enjoying yourself, you're giving to a good cause as well, which makes it even better.
And so as Jen says, it is always a value for money night out. Right, so if people want to get their lottery tickets or find out more about what's going on, what is the web address and phone number, please?
Right, so it's 01902-428-623. We've got a website as well, www.lottery@compton-hospice.org.uk.
And there's links to that from the main Compton site as well, yeah?
There is indeed, yes. I can see some of the winners' photos and the events going on as well. So,
The phone number again was 01902-428-623. And, of course, you can pop in, can't you?
Absolutely, to any of the shops. And we're based in Score Street. If you want to join, pop in there and just ask for someone in the lottery office and please come down and explain all the details to you.
Jen, thank you for joining us. Always good to speak to you. I will see you on the 16th of June, if not before. I guess we'll be at the meetings organising everything as well, won't we?
Yeah. I'm sure they'll let you know.
We'll sort
thank
it out very
so
soon.
Much.
Cheers, Jen. Speak to you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our third tune from Fight the Dice. This is This Made Me.
You show with me now. But I couldn't have done it without.
Paradise, This Made Me, Jason. That was lovely.
Enjoy that. Yeah, they're a fantastic band. So we're hopefully going to get them in the studio as well, fingers crossed. So they should be here to perform for us very soon. Now, they're actually all from Telford. And we've got a Telford connection with our next guest, Nick Slater, from Urban Bootcamp All Weather. And you have some rather hard work you put your customers through, don't you, to make sure they get themselves into top physical shape.
Yeah, certainly we do. We put them through the mill a little bit, really, just to try and burn as many calories as possible, just to kind of get the weight off as quickly as we can.
So you have events taking place throughout Telford and Wolverhampton?
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah.
Tell us a bit more about what it is you actually do then, because by the sound of things, Zoe got quite excited because you have them running around everywhere, was your description when we were talking about this a moment ago.
Yeah, a lot of shouting.
You like the idea of shouting?
Yeah, well, you know, try and be more encouraging, really, than bullying.
Because you sound quite a nice bloke. You don't sound like you're going to actually have a go at somebody for this.
Well, you know, we can put the act on if we need to. You know, we can be sort of as robust with people as we think need be. We're personal trainers rather than sort of ex-army. So, we come at it from that angle, really.
Yes, I had visions of army uniforms and all sorts.
Well, yeah, we do put them on.
Oh, that's fab.
Just calm down, Miss Turner.
We put the boots on anyway.
And where do you go? I mean, is it like rough terrain or is it local parks or...?
It's kind of local parks, really, so it's kind of all sorts of terrain, both over here and in Wolverhampton, so yeah, we try and keep it as varied as possible, really.
Mm, so what would a typical lesson be? I mean, is it like one person on their own, or is it a group? Or
no, it's groups of people. We're getting about sort of 10 to 15 at the minute. We want probably no more than 20 per group. So the sessions will be kind of split out into a bit of a cardio, a little bit resistance stuff. We'll use sort of core bags, sandbags, TRX, power bands, and then just the natural terrain on top of that, really, just to make the session as varied as possible.
QRX and power bands? Sorry, what?
You'll have to come and have a go.
In my condition, that's a really bad idea. I'm 6, I've got 4 stone overweight. That's probably not... what sort of people are you bringing along to this? I mean, okay, I'm getting on a bit. I'm 41 in about a week and a half's time. So, and I'm about 4 stone overweight. Would I be an ideal candidate to come and be shouted at by you?
Yeah, you know, we cater for all sorts, really. So we've got a broad range of people that come in that haven't really done any exercise for a good while, to people that are, you know, a bit more keen and already doing things. So we kind of just sort of tailor the session as we see fit, really. You know, if we've got like a group of people where there are really two completely ends of the spectrum, then because there's two of us, we'll kind of split the groups up into two and make one a little bit more of a hardcore group and then one a little bit more of an easy group. So that's how we deal with it, really.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you wouldn't want the people that are quite fit to have to slow down to make up for the people that are only just starting,
people like me,
I suppose. Yeah.
We leave no man behind, anyway. or woman.
That's okay. Are you getting a wide range of people from different backgrounds coming to this as well, or is it tend to be your 19-year-olds who want to just finally get ripped abs?
No, absolutely not. We're getting a broad range, really. We have got younger people, but probably the bracket is falling between 35 and 45, really.
So it's officially the midlife crisis.
Yeah.
So I know a few people at my place of work do go to something similar. I don't know whether it's yours, and they were saying how much fun it was and how different it is to just going to a normal gym and exercising inside. So they seem to really enjoy it. So
yeah, absolutely. It's a different sort of experience to being inside, obviously, because you've got the weather to deal with, for one. But that's kind of something, you know, we just work around it. And if it's a bit rainy, then we'll just work through it. And if people turn up for it, which they do, we just carry on through. We're Urban Bootcamp All Weather, so we have to kind of live up to that name a little bit, really.
And so he's now got you in a wet army uniform, but there we go. So
you don't know what visions are going through my mind.
I can tell by the smile on your face there's something happening in there, but there we go. They're fairly lonely thoughts as well normally, but that is just like, right, so you've got stuff in Telford. I can see that there's lots of open space around Telford. Wolverhampton, whereabouts are you doing your work over in Wolvo?
Purton, there's quite a big sort of bunch of playing fields, and we kind of use sort of any one of the 4 or 5 options that we've got up there. And then the weekday evening ones, we're at sort of paid facilities, so it's at like colleges and schools where there's outdoor light, because obviously we lost the light, so they're on a bit more of a harder surface rather than on the lumpy grass.
And does people need any sort of special equipment to come, like specific trainers or things like that, or can they just turn up?
Yeah, well, they, you know, obviously...
You're not going to do it in jeans, obviously.
No, you don't want to do it in jeans. Just stuff that you're training. You'd probably want to bring a bottle of water and a towel.
And long trousers in this weather, I would have thought.
Well, you'd be surprised, mate. Probably layers are probably better. They soon have them stripping off, not down to the skin, but...
She's off again. You've set her off again.
Do you wear shorts?
Well, I don't think it's polite to ask what he's wearing at the moment. It does sound
I've got
a little
shorts on right now, actually, as we speak. It's not the weather for them, but yeah, I've got them on.
Lovely.
So if people want to get themselves down there, what's it going to cost per session?
We've got a few options, really. You can pay as you go, £8.50. If you buy a block of 8 or 12, it comes down to around about £4.50, £4.80. If you sign up to a direct debit for 8 or 12 a month, it comes right down to under £4.
Because that's actually not bad compared to personal training, because you're normally spending about, if you've got one-on-one training, you're spending £20 to £30 an hour very often, aren't you?
Well, I'm a personal trainer and I charge £36 an hour. So it's a cheap way of doing it, definitely.
Yeah, and you've got that group morale as well. So in some ways you don't want to let yourself down in front of the group, but other ways they're there to spur you on.
Yeah, they'll egg you on, definitely. So it's a good way to do it. It's good fun. Definitely, everybody's buzzing afterwards, and you know they feel like they've earned their calories for the day. Then,
yeah, so, nice cup of tea and a shower if it's been wet.
Yeah.
and as Zoe hasn't threatened me with this one yet, I think it's another Zoe challenge we ought to set you up at some point.
Oh no, definitely you, Jason.
Anyway,
or perhaps if we go into two teams, I can go in the half fit team, and you can go in the not so fit team.
Zoe, you may be slighter than me. I would not describe you as fit. I've seen you kickboxing. Remember that a couple of years ago. So.
Oh, I nearly had him as well.
Yeah,
I did.
Right. I think he was toying with you, to be fair. So, people do want to book up or get themselves along. How do they get in touch with you? And are there websites with pictures and things for Zoe?
Yeah, the website's on there. I've just put some videos on there as well for people to see. So they, I think people expect that now of a website. So they can actually sort of see through that window how it actually looks. There are pictures on there. All the contact details are on there. My phone number's on there as well.
What's the web address?
It's a bit of a long one, so get ready. It's www.urbanbootcamp-allweather.co.uk.
I was expecting worse than that. That's not too bad. Urbanbootcamp-allweather.co.uk. And the phone number, just in case I do want to give you a call immediately.
My phone number is 07505-225-165.
Okay, I've made a note of that.
Zoe, 07505-225-165. And
right.
You can't guarantee you're wearing your shorts for them, but if they ask nicely, you will get changed.
I will do, yeah. I promise.
We will have to see if we can get Zoe down there, and although she's threatening it to be me. One of us has to hold the tape recorder, whatever happens. So we'll have to see if we can get down there and see if we can record some stuff with you at some point.
Certainly. Love to have you there.
Cheers. Thanks, Dick,
for
joining us. Ciao for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our fourth and final tune from Fight the Dice. This is Blindfold. Baby, I'll think of you.
There we go, Blindfold from Fight the Dice. Right, so, exciting. Actually seeing you is quite a novelty, so that was all good.
I was going to say, actually being able to speak to you without a delay and interruption.
Well, you see, the thing is, by the time I finish editing, the delay is gone.
Oh, that's good. Yes, that must take you forever.
It does, yes, but I live for the podcast. That's how it works. Right, we'll be back next week, more of the same, and hopefully it's still both back in the UK.
Yes, without colds as well would be nice.
Episode 192 up next week. So, half an hour.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.